welcome to the Clinton Macomb Public Library's podcast for the month. We are doing some spooky stuff today. I am Colleen. I am one of the teen services librarians here at the Clinton Macomb Public Library. And joining me today is
Jessie Abraham. I am a children's services librarian here also at the Clinton Macomb Public Library.
Jessie, I hear you like some spooky stuff.
I do. And I hear you like some spooky stuff. I feel like we could talk about this way longer than we're going to today.
We've already been talking about it before we hit record, and we will probably just hit stop and continue talking about it. So I think we should get right to it. So we're going to talk about a few of our favorite spooky kind of seasonal materials. We've got a few different kinds of things. I think I've got a book and an audio book and a movie, and I think you've got
similar. Yeah, I have a couple books coming out, and I can start with that.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay,
dive
cool.
Right in.
For pleasure reading and viewing, it's typically always YA or adult, mostly adult. But I am a children's librarian, so I do read a lot of children's books as well. And so I just want to talk about two new sort of spooky children's books coming out. The first one is called There is a Ghost in This House by Oliver Jeffers, who is one of my favorite children's authors. He's an amazing illustrator author. And the concept of this book is really cool. It comes out on October 5th, and it's about a young girl who lives in a haunted house, which I love haunted houses, but has never seen a ghost. Are they white with holes for eyes? Are they hard to see? Step inside and help the girl as she searches under the stairs, behind the sofa, and in the attic for the ghost. So basically, this is an interactive.
So is it like a picture book?
It's a picture book that
so
has
cute.
Transparent pages.
Yes.
And it's interactive. So basically through the book, you're looking for ghosts.
So
yeah.
Adorable.
So this is a kid's picture book. It's an easy reader, or it's not an easy reader. It's in our easy section of picture books. And it's on order right now. So you can put it on hold, and it comes out October 5th. So yeah, that sounds super cool, doesn't it?
I love picture books like that where they've got some sort of like interactive format to it. It made me think of, Go Away, Big Green Monster.
Yes.
Where every time you turn the page,
yes.
something changes, which also classic for Halloween time, right?
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those books when they come out as a kid, you remember it forever.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like The Jolly Postman. I don't know if you've ever read that.
Yeah.
Where it has like all the cards and stuff in
it.
Any of those books, I feel like I just remember. Mm-hmm. I remember that as a kid. I bought it for my kids, and they still read it all the
That's
time.
So
the other one I have is a middle grade reader. And so I would say probably grades 4 to probably close to 6. It's called Dust and Grim by Chuck Wendig. And that comes out on October 19th. And it's Miss Peregrine meets the Graveyard Book.
Oh, wait, what? Okay, that sounds amazing.
I know. So it says adventure about, or read about an adventure, rival siblings running a monster mortuary. Say that three times.
Nope, I can't. I tried once. I
probably should have read that out loud first.
I feel like they do that on purpose to us. They make all these really crazy titles that we can't say out loud.
Right.
Oh, that sounds so cute.
Yeah, yeah. And the cover's really cool. It's like a brother and a sister, and they have like their backs toward each other, and it just has like – it's just very kind of – sort of gothic looking on the cover. It looks really good. So I'm looking forward to that one,
too. Is mortuary one of those words where you're supposed to, like, pronounce when you're...
Right. I probably should have put a little bit more emphasis on it when I read it, but...
Cute.
Yeah.
I feel like there are just so many really good middle grade books coming out, and that sounds right up my alley.
It was actually hard for me to narrow it down to one to kind of talk about, but this is one I've been sort of looking forward to for a while. Yeah.
I love that. I read not a lot of kids' books, but I'm a teen librarian, so I do read a lot of YA. I also just read a lot of, like, adult nonfiction for some reason, which I never really thought of myself as a nonfiction reader,
but
here we are, because I have three nonfiction books to talk about. And they are, I know. I was like, wait,
but, like, nonfiction spooky is, like, next level scary.
if I think that this might be true, like, it doesn't even have to be that scary of a story, just knowing it's true or potentially true or allegedly true. Just hearing that makes me like, ooh, I don't know. So I have three nonfiction books. They're all by the same author, and they are, we keep them here in the adult nonfiction section. However, one of them was actually written, not necessarily for children, but it was something where she interviewed children and younger, maybe younger teens to write the book. And, but it is still in the adult section, but we, I would recommend these for any reading level, really. It can get a little content-wise iffy, depending, because it does, like I said, it is nonfiction. It does deal with some real-life death situations. So that would be a recommendation that I would give to people that are interested in reading it but are a little younger, or sharing it with somebody that's younger. But the author's name is Caitlin Doty, and I'm actually really surprised. I think you said you've never read her stuff. Is that...
Tell me, the what's the book called where she interviews the kids? Is that do the cat yes. one? Yes, I did read
so,
that.
Okay, so she wrote a book.
It's hilarious.
I know, it's so cute. It's called Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs?
Yes.
So, will your cat eat your eyeballs? I guess you'll have to read it. I don't know. I don't want to give it away. But basically what ends up happening is she interviews, so Caitlin Doty is a, or is or was a mortician.
Yes. And, okay. Yeah. It's all coming back.
Yes.
And I think so, you told me about that book and then I read it last year.
I think it's really fascinating because this is like creepy culture, but like, I think part of creepy culture is that you just don't know a lot about it. And that's right. like why it's kind of cool and scary sometimes. And you still get that with this, but she gives you a lot of the like, behind the scenes real life stuff about it. And so she interviewed a bunch of kids for this book where they were able to ask like ask me anything kind of a thing. And so somebody was like, when I die, will my cat eat my eyeballs? And she was like, well. So the whole book is full of really cute questions, and by cute I mean like they're kind of weird.
Yeah, like kid cute weird kid but, questions.
Oh yeah, so it's a fun book. And then she does have two other more typical nonfiction books called From Here to Eternity and Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. And those are more about her experience as a mortician and working in the quote-unquote death industry.
Okay.
So she talks about, like, how she got into it. It was kind of, like, just a summer job where she was helping at, like, a – maybe at a mortuary. I can't even remember. And she basically then went to school to be a mortician, and it's like just all the behind the scenes nitty gritty details, but also like some of the just cool death culture stuff.
Uh-huh.
Where she goes into like all different kinds of cultures around the world and what some of their death rituals are. And I think that is so fascinating because that's one of the things
I
that
I can't
like,
even imagine some of the things that she has seen
learned
about.
Right, because, like, as a mortician, she sometimes, even though she's operating in the U.S., comes across different cultures that she gets to experience and be a part of
sure.
because she's helping them go through their death ritual. But then she has also gone throughout the world. I don't know how much traveling she's done, but she's done quite a bit and talks about, like, all the different cultures she's researched and such. And I just think that's really fascinating because we all experience death and we all experience it differently and I think that it's kind of a taboo subject for a lot of people, but it's something that's... Sorry, inevitable.
Right.
So you might as well, you know, kind of
embrace
be educated.
It
yeah, maybe embrace it a little bit. You
yeah.
know? So, and that sometimes makes it a little easier for people. And I think that that was really interesting to read about.
Yeah.
But, I think she's also a fun writer. So I really enjoy her writing.
Yeah. I remember that book being definitely laughing out loud. I mean, it's not a funny subject matter, but
well,
it's.
I mean, the kids.
And there's like a lot of science in there too about how the body, what happens after death and what animals do. And if you, but.
but it's true though. Like kids ask the best questions because they just don't. Have like that filter.
There's no filter is, oh, and they just want to know the answer
and most of the time
they want an honest answer you know, and I think adults are kind of programmed to protect them but at the same time like they just
they
need information for
exactly.
sure.
So I feel like this is kind of a fun series of books. They're not actually a series but
right.
like she obviously is
what she writes
author.
About
she,
yeah
so it's you know, it's kind of fun to read through it all because it's all slightly different angles of the same sort of thing. So I really loved those. And then one of the fiction books that I wanted to talk about, and I think you've got, I think this is going to segue really well.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of planned this, but we didn't really plan
right?
it. So one of the other books that I would recommend for teen and op reading is We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson. And it is a classic horror story, mm-hmm. right? So, which I think is right up your alley since you like hauntings and mm-hmm. it's kind of like a haunted castle kind of a setting, classic gothic, you know, background. And it has been made into TV shows and movies and like, ugh, just all over the place. And it's super quick, easy read. Love it. Classic spooky season. And I think you have a Shirley Jackson title to go right along with
yeah,
that.
And I'm also sort of fascinated by her as an author as well, because she has a very interesting, I do believe that there was like mental illness in her, that was involved in a lot of her big writing years. And so I've watched a couple documentaries about her, and really it started, I read a couple of her books years ago. And then when Haunting of Hill House, I've never seen the movie, but when Haunting of Hill House, the Netflix series came out, I think we've talked about yes. this, where my goal from like September to Thanksgiving is to scare myself to where I can't sleep between books and shows. And I love it all. And my husband does too. So we just, it's not a good combination. But when I watched Haunting of Hill House, it kind of, I went back and read a couple of her books. It's just a very scary show.
Yeah.
And I think it takes a lot to scare me. And then it kind of went into Bly Manor, which is the season that came, I think there was 2 years in between. Bly Manor was on last year, maybe all the years are blending together.
What
so
is time?
And within the last five years, these two shows came out. But they're both just haunted house scary.
Yeah.
But one, really good acting. You can watch them both on Netflix. And we have the DVDs and Blu-ray here at Clint Macomb Public Library to check out if you don't have Netflix. And if you're looking to scare yourself silly, I would highly recommend both of these.
And somebody has read this, obviously, it's very popular, but if you haven't read any Shirley Jackson or think you haven't read Shirley Jackson, you may have, because The Lottery is mm-hmm. a classic high school read. And that's not necessarily a spooky season kind of a read, but it is kind of scary, even though it's not typically like Halloween-ish. Mm-hmm. It's a short story, I think.
Yeah, I think it was first published in a magazine, and then turned into a short story.
That's right, yeah. And it's kind of like a weird dystopian mm-hmm. short story before dystopian was kind of a big thing.
So long ago.
I pulled it up to try and look at
60s maybe, or was it earlier than further. That?
Yeah, actually, okay. 1948.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
So it is a short story, a dystopian short story, where every year this little small fictional town, although when I read it, I don't think they told us it was fiction or nonfiction. They just said this was published, and we read it, and we were like,
is this real?
Oh my God,
where is this place? I need to go there.
Oh, which that is spooky. So I need to go. No, don't go to this small town, Jesse. No. Because every year they pick one person via lottery to die, basically.
Yes, don't go there.
Don't go there. Or go there, but don't put your name in the hat.
Right.
Which I don't know about.
Just
that
watch
still.
From the sidelines.
That's a little weird. But maybe. So yeah, I don't want to go too far into it because it is a really short story, but it is a very kind of like creepy, somber, intense read, which I think I read in high school, and clearly it stuck with me.
Yeah, I read it as an adult, and it definitely, again, I think it's the librarian and, you know, any library, when we talk to each other, when we watch things, read things, we become obsessive over knowing the details about these people.
We're just
people.
Too curious.
Yes.
We
and
don't
so
know how to say no.
And sometimes I think, I know that I enjoy reading this. I don't know if I could, I'm creative enough to write like these authors necessarily.
I'm not.
So I'm all often like, where is this coming from? Where do these authors and movie creators and producers, where did they come up with these ideas? Because I just want to know what's going on in their minds.
Yeah. So, yeah, Shirley Jackson, all sorts of good stuff. Definitely read.
For sure.
But I have one more. I don't know if you have. I've lost track
you know
of what we've talked about.
Go for, you know, I have one more to actually, I can piggyback off the haunted house a little bit. There is an author that I really enjoy that's an adult author, definitely an adult author, or a, you know, a, maybe a older teen. Riley Sager, who wrote Home Before Dark. It came out last year, and I actually think it was like number one on the Goodreads horror, their list of like fan favorites.
Okay.
And it's a story about a haunted house, and it has a very interesting twist. It's the tagline sort of is every house has a story to tell and a secret to share. But it was very, I read this while watching, I think, Bly Manor. So maybe that was 2 years ago. And I was not sleeping at all. And it's a very good book. But he wrote a new book called Survive the Night. And I guess while we're on the topic of spooky, because that's what we're here for, is to talk about spooky. I think everyone has a different definition of spooky.
That is true.
So I have read a lot of sort of murder mysteries that have been very yes. scary. So his new book, which came out on June 29th, is called Survive the Night. It takes place in 1991, which is like the best decade for spooky.
Oh my gosh, seriously.
Like 90s horror movies. Just
oh my gosh.
Oh, classic. That I should have talked about that Netflix series, the Fear Street.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Fear Street.
Okay, we'll talk about that too.
Yes. But anyway, this says a girl, a killer, a car, buckle up. So that's on my list to read this month. And what's also on my list to read this month is Mexican Gothic.
Yes.
You've heard.
Oh, yeah.
By Sylvia Moreno-Garcia. Mm-hmm. It's Lovecraft meets the Bronte in Latin America, which yes. I think I've been wanting to read this for a while.
Am I picturing the cover where, is it just like this beautiful floral?
It's a woman
yeah.
that has dark hair in like a red dress.
Okay.
And a green background sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. It came out last year. It's in the horror genre, but it says, after a slow burn start, Mexican Gothic gets seriously weird. An isolated mansion, a chillingly charismatic aristocrat, and a brave socialite drawn to expose treacherous secrets. A terrifying twist on a classic Gothic horror.
Love it.
I know.
Ugh.
So those are sort of Survive the Night, Mexican Gothic are my scary books for September and October. So that's all I have on those.
Well, okay. So I have one last thing, because this is kind of, as you were saying, like everybody has like a different spooky thing. So one of the things that I love about spooky stuff is like, I love like classic colonial America spooky stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Salem witches.
Uh-huh. Yes. Me too.
Right? So, and we're very close to the Metro Detroit area, and we have the Henry Ford Museum and Greenfield Village area, and this not a plug for them, but but kind of is an unintentional plug, but one of my favorite things to do is walk around Greenfield Village during like October and fall, because they decorate a la colonial times, and it's just like,
I never even thought to do
so
that.
So creepy, and I love it. Oh,
so cool. I'll have to check that out.
So I was trying to find something that we have a service called Hoopla, and Hoopla is what I like to call Netflix for libraries, because it's all the good stuff that Netflix has, but free. So as long as you have a library card with us, you get to access all these really cool things. And I wanted to see if we had some good spooky movies or audiobooks or something along those lines. And I ended up, actually, I was going to originally talk about a TV series. And it was, I forget the title, because I actually got distracted and didn't watch it. But they have this really cool series on Hoopla that was all about, like, classic pop culture horror icons. And so, like, you know, how Dracula is portrayed in pop culture. So I'm definitely going to watch it, but it was, like, a whole series.
Yeah,
so
that sounds super interesting.
But what distracted me was an audiobook called Colonial Horrors. And I was like, wait, hang on. Sign me up.
Did they write this for me?
They pretty much did. So, well, I mean, I wasn't around in the 1600s. But, or was I? So this audiobook is all read by different authors. It is a compilation of, like, classic colonial scary stories. So, you know, the... there's just stuff about the Salem witch trials. There's the Headless Horseman, like that whole era of spooky stories.
Wow.
And so some of them are read in the original text, which, just FYI, when you get into that, because that can, I actually did zone out a couple times because I was like, wait, what did they say? So be prepared. The original text might be a little bit off if you're not expecting it. So do be aware of that. But it was, it's like 16 hours of like spooky stories, classic spooky stories. So that's what I spent my whole day listening to. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to watch that TV show. But so we've got some really cool stuff on Hoopla as well.
Yeah.
And so if you're more of a digital person, definitely check that out. But you mentioned Fear Street, and I want to get back to that because we're almost out of time.
Yes.
But Fear Street, oh, classic. So, like, kids, spooky stuff. When I think kids, scary books, obviously I think Goosebumps.
For sure.
And Michigan Chillers and American Chillers. But I also remember my childhood, also growing up in the, like, 80s, 90s, that era of spooky stuff.
Yes.
But when you got to that age where you were like, oh, man, I get to graduate from Goosebumps into the Fear Street novels.
When I was younger, Fear Street was the only horror series that was out.
Okay.
Goosebumps came a little later. And, I mean, I remember wanting to read Fear Street but not being able to and kind of, yeah, definitely reading Goosebumps. And then when it was time to read Fear Street, it was like the doors had opened.
The spooky gates are open. Yes. Oh, they have such classic scares. And I feel like they do both R.L. Stine, just like.
I know.
but I feel like you get a lot of like the cool, like classic monstery kind of thing, but also like the serial killer creepiness too.
Yes.
One of my favorites was the Dead Lifeguard, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
I think
it's just coming back.
I remember reading it at, like, summer camp and being like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. This is so scary. It was totally appropriate, but I was just like, oh, I feel like I'm not supposed to be enjoying this so much because it's scary.
I do remember, like, reading at night, being super scared. And not wanting to tell my parents because I didn't want them to, like, not let me read the books anymore.
That was exactly it, where I was like, oh, no. Oh, man. But Fear Street's having a little bit of a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I have not watched this yet, but you have. So I'm going to let you go off on that.
I mean, again, I love 90s horror movies, and it's probably because I was a teenager in the 90s.
Fair.
And that's sort of, like, what you do with your friends around this time of the year. You scare yourself silly. You go to haunted houses and mazes and all that. So the first one takes place in, I think it's 1994, and it has all of the nostalgia of 1994. Mm-hmm. It takes place in a mall, and there's no cell phones, and, you know, they call each other on a house phone, and I don't know. It just has all of the great parts that made a movie so good in 90s horror. And then it kind of, the main part is about a witch. Mm-hmm. And so then you start kind of going back in time of the roots of this story. Mm-hmm. So then the next movie is, get the 70s summer camp. The best.
Exactly.
I mean, outside of 90s horror, like 70s summer camp is my next favorite.
I mean, pretty much.
I didn't grow up in the 70s,
no,
but I do love 70s horror. And then it keeps going backward into the Salem days, it's what really well made. It's definitely not for the young. I would say this is 16, 17 and up.
Okay.
I enjoyed it as an adult. I kind of feel like it was made for
our age group. Yes.
That grew up on Fear Street.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So it is a mini series?
Yeah, it's three movies.
Are they good independent of one another, or should you just watch them all together?
They're good independent of each other. When I watched the first one, I didn't know that there was a second and third.
Oh,
so I was it left unresolved, but you were like, once I found out there was a second and third, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I got to watch all of these, you know? So you can watch them independent of each other, but the series together makes the whole story.
All right.
So, and they kind of, we'll see if there's more. I mean, it was well done. The acting was fantastic.
Yeah.
Some really good teen actors in there. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I
told everybody about it.
I feel like you brought this up and I was like, all right, on my list. I have not gotten around to it yet.
Yeah,
so.
It's just the season.
It's always spooky season in my heart. So
I know exactly. I totally. And if you don't have Netflix, I mean, we have to-go items, right?
Yeah.
That you can get, You can stream from these streaming devices that we have on our to-go kits. And then mm-hmm. Netflix always has a free trial.
Yeah.
I think it's like a week-long free trial. Sure. So if you really want to watch these movies, I don't believe we have these in our
collection. I don't think they've been released. Right. Yeah.
Physically. They're fairly new, too.
Yeah. But you could always just come to the library, read the classic Fear Street novels.
Yes, that too.
They are on our shelf. Yep. And I try to push them into as many hands as possible. So I'm like, we still have these. You should
yes,
love them.
Yes.
We have so many good things in the teen area, though. Like, oh, just so many spooky stuff coming out. Like, we've got the Five Nights at Freddy's. We've mm-hmm. got Stranger Things. We can't talk about Stranger Things because I will never shut up. But we've got Stranger Things graphic novels. We've got, you know, novels, regular, not nonfiction, regular fiction. Oh, I hope Stranger Things is not nonfiction.
Yeah, right? Ooh, how that would be fun.
That's intense. But we've got all sorts of cool stuff. And I know the adult section is full of good creepy stuff, and yeah. I am super excited for all of the cute little spooky haunted house books that you talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so yeah. I think by the time this podcast comes out, because we're from the future, from the past, I don't know how this works. I think one of them should be out. When was mm-hmm. when were the two?
First one is 10/5. Okay. That is There Is a Ghost in the House. In This House by Oliver Jeffers, and the second one is 10/19. But we do have some Halloween spooky stuff coming in now, because yes. a lot of those are released in September.
True.
So we do have some stuff on the shelves already that's coming in.
I mean, there's always good classic yep. stuff. So if
for
you
sure.
are struggling, you need some spooky fixes, come see us. Yeah. Even if Jesse and Colleen are not available, the two spooky queens of CMPL, I'm sure someone else can help you.
For sure.
So, oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to go and watch that Fear Street, like, today.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Are you going to do any Halloween fun stuff coming up? Or
I mean, yeah. Once,
digging
like,
in?
My birthday's at the end of the month. Your birthday is too, isn't it?
It's tomorrow.
Okay, I knew your birthday was coming up too. So I always say, like, after my birthday is when spooky starts. Like,
see,
for
I say
my
September
family.
1st, it's spooky season. I'm like,
my kids
now
are,
you can't
well, and
back.
My kids are really into it too. So they're just starting to get to the age where they're not so scared.
Yeah.
So they've been begging me to put stuff out for the season. And so right now it's like just jumping into the school year. So yeah. We're getting there for sure.
Well, go get yourself spookified then.
Yeah.
I was so excited to talk to you about this.
Yes.
Because spooky stuff forever. So, all right, we're going to just end it here. Otherwise, like I said, we're going to go on forever. So thank you so much for joining us. And
yes.
hopefully you guys have some good spooky recommendations. Send it our way.
Yes.
Because I would always love more.
Right. Me too. For sure.
All right. So we'll see you next month. Thank you.
Bye.